Episode 208.
It's truly a profession today. The amount of knowledge you need to run a business, to operate a business, you have to change yourself from a licensed technician to being a full business CEO. And when you learn how to do that, and it's something that has to be learned, it isn't easy. But when you become a CEO, now you're running your business properly. And you're making the right decisions for the business. So you've heard it before from other people as well. Instead of working in the business, you work on the business, day in and day out as your CEO, making the right decisions so the business progresses.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point.
Welcome, aftermarket professionals, to Remarkable Results Radio and to episode 208 and a special business coaches roundtable recorded at Vision 2017. Hi, I'm Carm Capriotto, and I'm fundamentally changing the behavior of how aftermarket professionals get their ideas, training, insights, and strategies. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support, online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. You can listen to the podcast on my own app. It's available on the iOS or Android App Store. Just search for Remarkable Results Radio, install, and about 2 minutes later, you'll have all the episodes at your fingertips, and it's all for free. Hey, you can find this week's show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E208. There you will find my guests' in-depth bios, web addresses to their companies, and links to all other episodes they've done with me on the site. You know how impassioned I am about building a stronger aftermarket. So besides the power of the twice-weekly podcast, you now have a new source for information. The Town Hall Live Forum is every Friday at 12 noon Eastern. It is a single-subject discussion with your peers who are passionate about sharing their knowledge. Now, you can enjoy it live on Facebook or watch the repurposed HD video on my website or YouTube channel. Go to remarkableresults.biz/learning and get in on the learning. Welcome to my new connections on Facebook, Dan Garlock, Dave Back, Ilya Nazgavarov, and Megan Diniff. And to my new LinkedIn connections, Bill Caranitti and Richard Franklin. You know, I'm always looking for your input, so don't hesitate to email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz. Drop me a line on show ideas or guest suggestions, or to just offer me your guidance on the show. You're in for a treat. At Vision 2017, as you know, I set up a 4-microphone studio right in the thick of it near the Expo Hall. I was able to corral business coaches Bob Greenwood and Bill Haas and sales trainer Barry Barrett to spend some time with me. What you're about to hear could be classified as one of your most favorite episodes in my entire catalog. You'll be the eventual judge of that. Now, it surely has the power to rank right up there with a very, very powerful message. And that message, shop owners need to be the CEO of their company. But as they say, it is not easy. And you have to work at it, and you need help, especially an accountability partner or coach. We covered a wide range of topics that brings a coach's perspective to the entire consulting process. And at times, the message was so powerful and strong, you'll be moved. And at other times, we had so much fun we couldn't stop laughing. Hey, guaranteed you'll hear some great stories from our aftermarket's best. See the show notes on this episode at remarkableresults.biz/E208. With me is Robert Bob Greenwood, AAM, President and CEO of Automotive Aftermarket eLearning Center. AAEC is a company focused on providing business management resources and development for the independent sector of the aftermarket industry. Bob has over 40 years of business management experience with the independent sector of the aftermarket in North America, consulting independent retail shops of all facets of their business operations. Also hear from Bill Haas, the owner of Haas Performance Consulting, LLC, with 40 years of experience in the automotive service and repair industry. Bill's career includes time as a technician, shop owner, technical trainer, and most recently on the staff of the automotive industry's oldest and largest association representing automotive service and collision repair businesses. He is also business manager of NACAT, that's the North American Council of Automotive Teachers. And Barry Barrett, he brings his special wisdom and passion. Barry is an authority on sales and selling. He is the director of training for RLO. Barry's been in sales for 15 years. Now, this has allowed him to converse with many different people, which is his passion. He loves talking with people. He loves listening to people. Barry's background includes 4 years as a successful service advisor. And during Barry's career as a service manager and top salesperson, he honed his talents in communicating with people. Barry is tireless in his pursuit of excellence in the automotive industry and in all that he does. He is also a Ziegler coach, and that shines through in this episode. Now, the episode is a little long, but I couldn't find anything to cut. It's powerful. Listen over two or three listens if you have to. Get out your pad and paper, or fire up your digital note taker, and prepare to learn with Bob Greenwood, Bill Haas, and Barry Barrett. Here we go. So welcome to Vision, guys. Vision 2017 here in Kansas City.
Beautiful Kansas City.
Kansas City. There's a song, Kansas City.
There is, Bob.
Kansas City, here we come.
Yeah.
I don't know the song, but I had some barbecue a while ago, and it was good.
Yeah. Well, I've got this great portable studio here in Kansas City, and I'm at Vision 2016, and this is my first interview in the three-day stay that I'm going to have here. Barry Barrett's right in front of me.
Right here.
RLO, Director of Training, over here to my far right. Bill Haas, nice to see you, Bill.
Good to see you.
And Bill is with NACAT and Haas Performance Consulting. By the way, Barry was with me in episode 130, Town Hall Resolutions and Great Traits of a Service Advisor. And I think I owe you for the 200th, too.
You do.
And what's so interesting, everyone, is that tomorrow the 200th goes out, and we're on the eve of the 200th. In fact, what I'm doing is I'm having a big party in my room, and we're all going to listen to the 200th episode tonight. You're all going to have to bring something to drink.
Blue martini.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I think everybody will appreciate that.
Know about that.
Once they see the episode, yeah,
right.
Yeah, because I left that part in.
Spoiler.
I left that part in, Bill, with a blue martini.
Good.
And of course, I also have Bob Greenwood here. Bob Greenwood from Automotive Aftermarket E-Learning Center. Hey, Bob, from Vancouver, BC. You're a long way from home.
Gorgeous Vancouver.
Gorgeous. I was there. And I have to tell you, I flew up over the mountains to visit some jobbers years ago, and I went to that beautiful island. What do they call that?
Vancouver Island.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's when I realized what logging really was. I thought I had big trees at home.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
And Mr. Greenwood was with me in episode 49, Town Hall Succession Planning, and the 200th. So here's what happened. We get off this episode 200. We thought about just getting together and talking about business coaching. And, you know, my listener, 50% of my listeners is a service professional. And a lot of them have coaches. And a lot of them don't. And so what changes are going on in the industry? Bob, you mentioned one of the most profound things in our 200th episode about the changes going on in the aftermarket. Let's use that to start off our discussion.
Yeah, the trade days are over. And if we could get the industry to understand that, we can make some great progress. But it's truly a profession today. The amount of knowledge you need to run a business, to operate a business, you have to change yourself from a licensed technician to being a full business CEO. And when you learn how to do that, and it's something that has to be learned, it isn't easy. But when you become a CEO, now you're running your business properly. And you're making the right decisions for the business. So you heard it before from other people as well. Instead of working in the business, you work on the business day in and day out as your CEO, making the right decisions so the business progresses.
What does Bob mean by we have to move on from a trade to a profession? What do you mean by trade?
Good question. You know, if you look at the trade concept, going from a consumer's perspective, the public's perspective of a mechanic was a grease monkey. And the last thing you're going to do, son, is go out and be a grease monkey mechanic. Well, we've got to get past that, and we've got to sharpen our cards, everybody in the industry, and become professionals, execute professionally as the consumer would want to see us. So think about this. Are you a technician? Are you a diagnostic technician? Or are you a diagnostic engineer? Now, just think about the technology coming into play here. As a diagnostic engineer with the technology in a vehicle today and within the next 5 years, mm-hmm. is going to be overwhelming. And the amount of knowledge a technician is going to require. He will be an engineer. He will be. He'll have to have that kind of depth of knowledge. Now, if the public starts to hear from the shop owner, I've got to call out Larry, my diagnostic engineer, to look at your vehicle. They're going, what? Diagnostic engineer? Yes, ma'am. Said, the skill level required today, they are engineers.
Bill, what kind of story are you sharing with your coaching clients about where they need to be?
Well, it's very similar to what Bob's, you know, presenting here is. It really is about being in the business and understanding the business. And, you know, the big challenge I see in moving from this trade to profession to stay on that same wavelength, okay, is I look at the technician or the former technician becomes business owner. And I think about all the effort that they put into being that great technician to really be at a very high level of their skill, their trade skill, right? And then they do like almost nothing to learn the business and understand the business. So they invested hours and hours, whether, you know, formally or informally, to understand the systems in the automobiles and the failures and correcting the failures. And then when they make that transition from being that really highly skilled technician to being, oh, now I'm going to own the place, all that goes out the window and they go, well, I can do this. The guy before me did it. Well, how successful was he at it? And then it's the same, to me, it's the same concept in this. Are you a mechanic, a technician, and elevating the profession? We have to do the same thing at the business. You can't just be the guy that happens to own the business. You have to be somebody within the community that's a business professional that engages with other business professionals. And so you need that business acumen, and you need to spend some time, you know, to go to school. And for my own story, what I would share with you is this. When I first went into business, I was a great technician. And what I learned very quickly was nobody had prepared me. I, myself, had not prepared me for what I was up against. And I ended up going to the university extension and taking financial courses. And it's so funny because just this week, my wife was cleaning out some filing cabinets at home, and she goes, there's a binder over there with some stuff in it. I don't think you want it anymore. It looks like it's pretty old. And in there was actually my diplomas from the financial courses that I had taken at the university of extension.
So what kind of memories did that bring back?
a lot. You know, it's like, man, that's a long time ago, but to me, that's what makes the difference.
That was the School of Hard Knocks, the start of it, really.
The start of it was
the
School of Hard
Knocks. It got you the foundation that you needed.
Right. And, you know, so many people, I don't think, ever get to that point. I look at people that I've interacted with and people I've had the opportunity to work with in a you know, consulting and coaching scenario and go, wow, they've been doing this for 30 years and they don't have a clue. And now they're finally reaching out for help.
Reaching out for help. At what stage do the majority of your clients come to you at in their business success or failure?
The majority are actually long tenured, have been in business for a long time, did some things, thought they were trying things, tried to get, you know, bits and pieces of advice here and there. But never really did anything formally. And unfortunately, I think the thing that is really the failure for them is they had no accountability. They had nobody that held them accountable to, yes, you said you're going to do this. We're really going to do it.
So there wasn't a higher power.
No.
And that higher power was them. And they didn't really know what was around the next corner.
And then it's very easy to make the excuse for why I don't have time for that.
And you use the key word there, accountability.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of shop owners don't want a business coach, because they don't want to be accountable.
Exactly.
Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work, and you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree, vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of Guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus on the Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus On Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And when you need help with a technical issue, their bilingual ASE-certified Gurus On Call are ready to help. And this year, they're introducing their Garage Rewards Loyalty Program, which gets you points towards free gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. It costs nothing to join, and you could start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com, learn all about the Garage Gurus program, and start earning points today. You've always counted on Moog to keep you ahead of the pack when it comes to chassis innovation. Well, they've done it again. Most recently launched is the Moog ball joint with a pre-installed integral dust boot. It's designed exclusively for compression-loaded suspension systems, providing superior strength and durability for these types of vehicle applications. The dust boot is made from higher-strength materials and comes pre-installed, saving you time because it's easier to install. It also has a larger contact area against the stud, which makes a more effective seal. For your customers, the unit uses Moog's powdered metal gusher bearing that provides longer life and controlled radial and axial movement. You get the industry's leading coverage of 10,000 SKUs, including 4,600 for foreign applications. Hey, you've been installing Moog confidently for years, and now you know why.
So, Barry, you're a business trainer and a coach, a Ziegler coach, by the way.
I'm a Ziegler coach.
Oh, I saw him at dinner tonight. We were kind of horsing around, saying hello to each other. I have over 41 podcast alumni here, and we're all going to hook up at one point in time. And I want to have you on to do it just one-on-one about your Ziegler experience.
Man, that would be a dream.
You would come back?
Absolutely.
Thank you. So in your role as a business coach, a trainer, almost like a sales success guru, help us understand when you hear the business coach talk about how do you fit into that angle?
So a lot of times, and I heard one of these gentlemen say a while ago about teaching people to become from a shop owner to a CEO. You know what a CEO doesn't do? He doesn't walk up and say, "Hey, Mr. Salesperson, why don't you move out of the way? I got this." Does that make sense? He doesn't say, "I got this." And so my job is to really help people get the confidence to not only do their job and sell at a high level, but to have the confidence to say, "Hey, Mr. CEO, would you please stay in your lane and get out of mine?" With all due respect, because I really am here to help you make money and give you your freedom back to you and your family. So if you don't mind, let me do that for you.
Well, that's a paradigm shift for a service advisor, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And for the owner.
Yes.
It's huge for the owner.
It's big for the
owner. Because the owner loves to get in there and do it.
I don't care what Barry
says.
I don't care what Barry says. This is how we're doing it.
So what I would do at that point, being the person that I am, I would say, well, obviously you don't care what I think, and so you don't value me. So I'm going to go find someone who does. And I don't really care if they pay me more or whatever. I want to go to a place where people value me and value who I am, and therefore I will eventually get paid more. Because, you know, like we always say, if you do more than you get paid to do, eventually they will pay you more than you do. Does that make sense?
It sure does.
I love it.
I keep asking for a raise.
You know,
I've been doing it all wrong.
When I often have people come and ask for a raise, I tell them to go in the back. We'll get them on a lift, and, you know, we'll raise them up. So your pay raise is always effective when you are, right, Carm?
Right. Yeah, you absolutely are. Bob, I'm not sure that may have been a slap. I don't know. Anyway, so we've got business coaches and a great service advisor. Would you call yourself, Barry, more of a life coach? I love the things you say and you do. I've seen some of your speeches. I haven't seen them all. But just being a Ziegler coach, you're probably teaching people a whole lot more about the right questions to ask.
Here's what happens is, and I do say the quality of your questions will determine the future you experience. And I believe that wholeheartedly. So people want about 10 things in life. They want to be happy. They want to be healthy. They want to be prosperous. They want to have security. They want family. They want good friends, hope for the future. They want to love. They want to be loved. And they want peace of mind. That's basically what people want. So what happens is I sell them what they need, and I give them, or I sell them what they want, and then I give them what they need. And what that means is we start out talking about service advising. Well, I don't really teach people how to service advise because service advising they already know how to do. Selling, they don't. Selling is a transference of feelings, and most people are under a lot of pressure. So that feeling that they transfer is usually pressure. So I teach them how to release the pressure. Well, there's seven parts of your life, and if I don't help you with those parts of your life, your mind, your beliefs, your money, your family, your friends, those types of things, your personal life, you cannot be the person that you're supposed to be. So with this philosophy that you can have help everything, if you can help enough people get what they want, you can have everything in life that you want. That's Zig Ziglar. Then what you really do is help people with their life. And I know that being a life coach is kind of overplayed, but it really does kind of set that tone. But there's a disconnect in most people that are a life coach. They don't really have theirs together. So how are you going to help people have their life together if you don't have yours together? But none of us are great in all parts of our lives. That's why I have seven mentors, because there's a mentor for each spoke of the wheel in my life. Matter of fact, I have two or three in some of them.
Barry, how many transformations have you seen, and what feeling does that give you?
Oh, you talk about the feeling. I've seen a ton of transformations. One of the big things when people come to my class, and it floors me every time, is they'll leave on the remarks, "It changed my life." And I'll give you one story of a young lady. She came to my class, and she had kind of a tough past. I won't tell you who she is, but she had a tough past, and all these things that happened. Well, she came to me, we went through the class, and then all of a sudden she started to believe in herself because she started doing the self-talk every day. She started reading the book. She started listening to the podcast. She started doing the homework, doing the sales training. We got her the Ziglar sales training. And then all of a sudden she went from having a $300 ARO, a week later she was doing $650. Now, that didn't happen because I taught her all this these great techniques in a week, and she just showed up and was able to do what I did. She went back with enthusiasm, a new hope, because where hope is deferred, people will grow sick.
People buy from people.
Absolutely.
The trust level is way up because she has such a belief in herself.
Let me tell you what she had that most people don't have. She had talent. She had an unbelievable personality that showed through at such a level. She was happy. But when you would walk into her door, she was so businesslike, right? And didn't make people laugh.
Did you see the talent in her?
Oh, talent in spades.
She didn't see it in her.
She didn't have a clue.
Yeah, all right. Okay, perfect. Bob, how important is Barry's message in your with your clients? Do you provide this in your own company?
What Barry is saying is right on. It's so critical. It all starts with you, though, the individual first, to move on. And I'll share a story that came in today.
Okay.
By email. And this is a client I have back in the East Coast in the United States. And he just came on board, and we've gone through a lot of conversations. And I did an analysis on his business, and we talked about that. And he said, "We'll make those changes. I'm doing it." Bob, thanks for the attention while you're abroad. It's greatly appreciated. Last week, we initiated the bump to $120 per hour labor rate. He was at 90. And I'll adjust that to the 122 that you want. I explained to the crew why it is. I also talked to the techs regarding why not 7 hours being billed every day. Everyone was pretty excited about the conversation and have responded positively. Then Friday happened. This is comically awful. Last week ended miserably. Multiple jobs were severely delayed, one due to inability to locate a part, another for wrong used transaxle being supplied, realized only one final drive gear ratio tripped on a code final road test. a special tool was bought that week, and we broke it out, and it fully was broken inside the box, requiring innovative repairs, and a failed overhaul transaxle crippled our efforts to get a customer in his vehicle by the promised time.
Bob, is that from Mr. Murphy?
No. Between all of it, our printer failed to recognize a new cartridge, and our phone glitch totally went out, and our routine fully updated fell apart. Car's not moving anywhere. No printer for completed ones. No phone in front of the office. I was beside myself with frustration. Went to the back office and made a mistake of opening a letter from the state of, and I won't mention it, Treasury Department. They wanted interest on my missed sales tax for the past month. Wow, I felt I was being punished for having the audacity to declare that we were worth the labor rate we started charging. Well, I calmed down myself and I breathed for a bit before walking back out into the shop and gathered the crew for a recap of the week. Everyone was down. The effect of the day of defeat was evident. With them all gathered, I said, smiling in a sarcastic, hard tone, So guys, why did we not get our 7 hours each billed today? Everyone laughed. Bottom line is, it has worked out. We're back on track. We're going to go into this weekend fully thinking Monday morning will be just fine, and the team is on board. They like the intensity that we're bringing to the table of getting them involved. So here's a CEO starting to be a CEO by delegating to his staff and keeping them into the inner circle and having conversations. This is not your average shop owner. I'm very proud of this individual. He's come a long way in such a short period of time, realizing that as a team, you run this business. But it had to start with him.
Was that a transformation like you're talking about?
Yeah, it is. And he's got a road to go, but he wants to go there. So as Barry is saying, it's a personal desire. You've got to be focused and have that personal desire first, and then you can move mountains.
Bill, what are you doing in your business to bring that revenue side like Barry talks?
Well, I want to go back to what Barry was talking about first, because I think this is really important. When you asked about, you know, you said, Barry, are you a life coach? And then Barry, you know, waded through that very nicely, right? But here's what you have to remember. When Barry was talking about, you've got to remove the stress, right? You can't just remove the stress at work. That won't work, because it's everything that goes on in their life at work, outside of work, that makes them who they are. And so for all, I think we all agree that everything that we do goes well beyond just what happens at work or what is happening in their business. And I think that's true whether it's the CEO, whether it's a service manager, a service advisor, a technician. I mean, the technicians are the same way. I mean, you deal with some of these technicians and it's like they're great technicians. They're phenomenal talents. But their attitude is like so far gone, and that's what you got to fix. You got to get there first to get that fixed in order to get their real talent to come out and provide the kind of results that we're looking for in the business. And so a CEO will understand that. A boss will never understand that.
Correct.
And so what I try to do a lot of the times when I'm working with coaches is get them to quit being the boss. And I don't use the terminology CEO so much, but I'm trying to move them to the position of quit being the person that does the work. We pay people to do the work. Create the expectations for what work we want them to do and the desired results. And then your role is to give them, provide them what they need in order to do that job. And we'll get results.
And isn't it true, Bill, that so many guys hire these people, but they don't trust them to do it, and that's why they're bugging
absolutely.
Them,
you know? Absolutely. I've got a brand new client that I just started working with, and that is exactly everything that it's about. So when I start working with a new client, one of the things we do is we go through sort of, you know, I look at it this way. I want to date for a little while. We're not married yet. We're going to date for a little while, right? And honestly, I've had clients that I have fired after we dated. We never got married.
I understand.
And nice. That's okay.
You never got the home base.
Never. Okay. But a big part of that is as we're, you know, learning about each other because they have to learn me. I have a personality. They have to get to know who I am and my philosophies. And I need the same thing from them. So in the course of that, I need to learn a lot about their team of people. And this new client that I've started working with recently is exactly that. He doesn't trust anybody that works for him. It's like, how can we have a cohesive group here that would have any desire to achieve the same goal if I can't be trusted?
Bill, you mentioned two things that I want to address. One is trust. You know, Seth Godin says, trust is like the air you breathe. When it's not there, or when it's there, nobody notices. But when it's gone, everyone notices. And I love that. So a lot of times what you put out, life's an echo, what you put out, you get back. So I believe that most people who don't trust other people are not trustworthy.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that I wanted to talk about is, oftentimes I give a keynote and I said, raise your hand if you woke up this morning and you said to yourself, I cannot wait to be managed today. No hands ever go up. And then I say, well, now raise your hand if you say, I cannot wait to be bossed around today. Again, no hands go up. The last thing I do is I say, raise your hands now. Let me tell you what leadership is. Leadership is when I come to you and I say, hey, I'm the shop owner, and it's my job, you service advisor or technician, to make you successful. It's not your job to make me successful. So would you let me know what you need from me to be successful? Now, that's leadership. Now raise your hand if you're okay and say, you would say, man, I can't wait to be led today. And then every hand goes up. Boss is boss, leader, or boss is boss, managers manage, and leaders lead.
And you know,
what
you're saying is dead on, Barry. And the fact is, and confirm this right or wrong, from the positions you've seen, bosses, owners of shops lose good people because they allow bad people to stay because they're not keeping them accountable.
Oh. Accountability is so huge. And then that's another word that comes from responsibility. And responsibility is simply your ability to respond to your abilities. And what abilities do you have? So when most of us, by contrary belief, most people don't want to own a company. So when you will let them do their due, whatever you they do their deal, and you let them shine, they will be with you till the end of time. And you think, and the reason they don't trust a lot of time, Bill, is because they think that person wants to go start their own business. I'm here to tell you, starting your own business is tough, and most people don't want that. They want to make a good living. Very good living in most cases, and they want to have a good time at their job, and they want to enjoy what they do. They want to go home to a family and do that. Now, some of us are super lucky to be able to do what we want to do, but to your point earlier, both of you, if I didn't have a loving wife at home, as much as I travel, to support me and just really encourage me to live my dream, I would never be able to. My 12-year-old boy, my 8-year-old girl, they understand because they see dad just having a blast, but when I'm home, I'm home. Right? So you got to, as a leader, you got to allow your people to go home and be, do, and have everything out of life that they can have. And that means helping them with their family.
And you know, that's a good point because it comes down to structure of the business. Structure of the business. Imagine working in a business 6 days a week. Why can we not run this business on 5 days a week and have a weekend?
That's exactly.
And have
a strong end.
Why can't you run it? Why can't you run it from 8 to 5?
Right.
Exactly.
Why are these people there at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock at night? Why are they going to the shop? The shop's not open on Saturday, but they're there three quarters of the day.
And that comes back: lousy home life, lousy business life. You're now chained to the business because you don't want to be home. So fix it.
That's a pretty darn powerful statement.
Every 3 minutes, we get distracted. It takes 11 minutes to refocus, 40% of the time, you don't go back to doing what you were doing previously. That's why they can't do it 8 to 5. That's why they can't do it Monday, Friday.
I'm going to ask you a question. All you guys, is leadership the hardest transition you seem to find in your coaching clients?
Leadership is the hardest thing in the world to do. Simon Sinek said that. why are you trying to do it by yourself? Why not call Bill? Why not call Bob and say, Bob, Bill, I need you to lead me. You know, my company. You can call my company. Call somebody. There's enough customers to go around. Like, Bill's not my competitor and Bob's not my competitor. That's such a myth. Like, I can only handle how much I can handle. That's it. So call somebody to be a leader.
I just did that. It's interesting that he says that because I just did that in the last ASA blog that I wrote, and it was exactly that. I said, you know, it was is about not making excuses for why things don't happen. And so if you need help, and my closing in that blog was exactly what Barry's saying. There, the industry's full of people that are wanting and able to help you. Go find the help. There's so much help out there. There's so much help available in so many different facets. I don't care if it's through one of our organizations, whether it's through an association, whether it's through a parts distribution group, whatever. The industry's full of it.
And, you know, if you look at every successful businessman, every successful person I've ever known has had a mentor in the background.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this is part of business today. Because you can't do it all yourself. You need a sounding board. You need people who have been down the road before with other people. They can share their experiences with you. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. I had a great mentor teaching me what I do today. And he was with me for 5 solid years. And he taught me everything. But he kept me accountable to it. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today.
That's awesome. Do you know what I ask people a lot? One of the number one questions I ask shop owners, I say, do you know who Charlie Munger is?
Oh, yeah.
They don't have a clue who Charlie Munger is. If you ask 99 out of 100 people walking down the street, they don't know who Charlie Munger is. But then I ask them another question, who's Warren Buffett? And they say, oh, I know Warren Buffett. I'm like, well, Warren Buffett calls him his business partner. So if Warren Buffett has a business partner, a mentor, a guide, whatever you want to call him, what the heck?
Yeah, can you imagine, Charlie, should I buy this or not?
Should I buy Pepsi? Yeah.
And everybody thinks that Warren, of course, is the guru.
You know, Carm, ask me if I want to buy Pepsi, I'll tell you no. If I want to buy a Pepsi, I can do that.
But, you know, I've heard that from business owners before. Actually come right out and say, I never thought I would have to talk to somebody like you. Now, I'm not sure what that meant exactly, somebody like me.
All right, assume the good side.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking that when I walked in, Bill.
Yeah, why is Bill here?
but you know, you think about it and you go, why would they not think that they might need help or that there might be somebody that could give them a perspective or some insight or, you know.
It's like they treat it as an embarrassment. I'm too embarrassed to ask for help.
Bob, it goes back to, I don't know which one of the coaches that I interviewed, one of the best lines that I've used over and over again. It's kind of like the E-Myth line, you know, work on, not in. And the greatest line was, put your ego on the shelf. And I have a feeling it was Jim Murphy who may have said that to me. And I'm sure you've all said that before. So the issue with not having a mentor is that are we too proud? Is our ego too big? Are we supposed to be the odds the answer man?
Or you don't want to say that, yes, I'm open to taking some positive direction from somebody else.
Maybe, you know, would it be like trying to get us all to go to marriage counseling?
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
I do that too. Like, it's crazy. I've got 13 years we've been married. We're awesome. We do that. And so when I say that, you know, people, I'm a wide open book. Like, you could ask me anything on air. I'll tell you everything about my life. Who cares? Like, there's 10 people that's going to cry at your funeral, by the way. 10. And then they're going to have to make a decision whether they go to see you buried. You know what they make that decision on?
If there's a breakfast.
No. The weather. Whether it's going to rain or not. What?
Yeah, I get it.
Who cares? So, you know, I read 3 books a month. I read an hour and a half every morning. I read and I write for 3 books a month. And people say, why do you do that? I'm like, because they know a whole lot more than I'll ever know. And I used to actually think I knew everything. And then now I'm smart enough to know that I'm not smart enough to know. So
that was a hard lesson for me to learn when I thought I knew everything.
Oh. Hmm.
I don't know enough to know that I don't know.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Can I ask you all a really very personal question? Were you always Were you always this smart?
I'm smart?
I mean, it's a perfect question because of the theme of our meeting.
It is a good question. And, you know, I tell people when I'm doing training, when I'm in front of a group, I will tell them the reason I'm up here and the reason that I'm in front of the room is because I believe there's hope from keeping you from making all the mistakes I've made. Mm-hmm. Anything you could do wrong, I probably have already done that wrong.
Dave Ramsey calls it which side of the garbage are you on? So everybody's got a big pile of garbage, right? But if you're under the garbage, that's not good. If you're on top of the garbage, that's success. And that's a perfect picture of what success looks like, is a pile of garbage. But successful people are on top of the garbage, and every once in a while they look down and they have humility because they know and they see all these mistakes that they've made. The people under the garbage are the know-it-alls.
Do you want to answer that question?
Well, yeah, I learned from my clients all my life. I pay attention to my clients, my successful ones. They got there, then I observe what they're doing and listen to them. And that builds my knowledge, and it confirms that what we were talked about was the right thing. But it's interesting when you look at it. I'm a specialist. I know how, and I can tear a service shop apart real fast. But I have no clue how to run a Dairy Queen. Yeah, so everybody has.
But because you like ice cream, you should
buy one. I love it. Oh, I love it. But it's, yeah, everybody has their fortes. And that, like Barry was saying, he's excellent at what he does. And that's his forte. Bill's the same way. I've seen him in action. He's got a great forte, but he's got a great skill at it. And that the fact is, we've all learned that, and we've learned from our mistakes that we've made. And the trick is not to make them again.
We don't make mistakes. You all know that, right? You don't make mistakes. You make errors. If you make the same error twice, that's a mistake.
That's experience.
I like that.
Since starting the podcast and interviewing service professionals and then going to industry thought leaders and then discovering, you know, incredible coaches in this industry of which you three are, and I'm so proud to have had you on the show multiple times, I'm excited to do this podcast, and I'm excited to hope that this podcast gets a ton of legs. That's a lot of listens, because it seems over and over again, this is the same story. Professionalism, be a better person, learn from your errors. How many in the industry, according to your perspective on things, that service professional entrepreneurs, quote unquote leaders, do not have mentors that really, really need help? And if they get it, what happens to the industry? Two-part question.
You know, one thing, and I'll cover this in the beginning, because a lot of people will say, well, if you train my competitor, my brother, who owns a shop in Lexington, Kentucky, which is how I got in the business in the first place.
At least you know who to blame.
Exactly, exactly. So my brother, he will go to shop owners in around him. Like, we're talking about, we could throw a baseball and hit their shop, four or five of them. And he will say, you need to have Barry train your advisors. And they say, well, why would you want us to train our advisors? Because then we're better to competitors for you. He goes, yeah, you'll raise your prices, and then we're on an even playing ground. And you can't keep up with my service. You know it, and I know it. But I want you to be better because I'm charging $40 an hour more than you. And you're killing us because you can't serve your customers because you don't have the money to take care of them.
You know, you hear those stories and excuses all the time. And
Carm, excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted.
It's amazing how in the years I've been in business, and you'd offer a training class up to, it doesn't matter if it's a service professional, it doesn't matter if it's a technician. What if I spend all that money and they leave? And you all know the rest of the story. Right. What
if you don't, yeah, they stay?
Jack, and they stay. You don't train them and they stay. Oh, your business is really going to, you know, we're going to get enough helium to raise this ship. What is your take on the percentage of people in the industry that need help, that aren't getting it, that need a mentor?
So huge probably isn't a number.
It's close enough.
Could you take on 10 new clients tomorrow?
I could not take on 10.
Bob, could you?
No.
Barry?
Our company could. I couldn't.
Okay. So if there's a business coach listening to this and they're stealing one of your concepts or ideas, does it matter?
Oh, no. God, no. Absolutely
yeah.
not.
See, that's the point.
Please, I mean,
we share like crazy.
This is all about helping people. Right. I'll give you an interesting, you know, and I'm not going to name names, but, you know, in a previous life, you know, I managed conferences, and so I worked with people like this to bring them in and do conferences mm-hmm. and present seminars. And you know, it just amazed me at the time that there were trainers that would actually be so guarded, protective of their material. Like, and they're like, well, Bill, I can't just put that out there. Somebody might take it. And I would say, I thought that's why you created it. I thought the reason you put it together was for people to use it. Oh. And you know, it's like, wait a minute. That's what we're doing here. We're helping people.
And the thing is if somebody else takes your material and starts using it, I consider that the biggest compliment.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
I'll tell you this. They're not going to be able to deliver it like I can. I'm an inner trainer.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's crazy. It's you know, I always go back to Zig. You know, he's my hero. But people can say, you know, do his stories if they want. Not like he did it.
Well, you know, and this is interesting because I look at – here we are at Vision, right? Phenomenal event. And I have clients here. And so my clients will say when they're getting ready to go to Vision, they're going, oh, you know, I'm getting registered. I'm taking your class. I'm taking this class. I said, stop. What do you mean? You don't want me to take your class? Absolutely not. I said, go listen to somebody else. You can hear me anytime. You're going to Vision, go to a Barry class, go to a Bob class, go to a Cecil class, go to – all of us have different personalities, some, you know, different philosophies
different
and
means
different
to
thinkings
an end.
And
yeah.
a different perspective.
And go, bring different
the more you – this is like Barry's reading 3 books a month. The more you read, the more you know. Do you use everything you read?
I couldn't possibly.
You couldn't. But there's something that you pick up that goes, this was worth reading this because I got this. And so people need to do the same thing when they come to Vision. They need to, you know, expand their horizons to the point of hearing as much as they can from as many different people as they can, because they're going to find those something here that they can take back and use that's going to make them better.
You just gave me a great thought, Bill. Thank you for that. On the website, remarkableresults.biz, just go to the homepage, click the coaching button, and see all the coaches. If you want to go to Vision and go to all the different, you could listen to all of them. And what is so unique is there's one singular message from all of them, but from beginning, you know, minute one to end, it takes a different journey.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I asked one of the trainers here, Jeremy O'Neill, and he's been on your show, and I've actually been on one of the shows, the 200th episode, with he and I.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, he's a service advisor trainer, and I'm a service advisor trainer. We're supposed to not like each other, I think, and that's what they tell me. But I asked him, I said, can I sit on in your class? And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll sit in the back, I'll be quiet, and yeah. That's good.
You're going to be quiet.
I'm going to try.
Listen, I'm going to recommend, since I'm Italian, I had to learn to sit on my hands.
Are you saying I talk with my hands or no?
No. Okay. I'm just saying that if you sit on your hands, you'll have a whole lot. So somehow they're connected to the mouth. I don't know how that works.
But, you know, that's interesting. Barry actually brings up an interesting point because, you know, when I did the conference stuff, I worked with a lot of different people. When I got into the coaching side of things on my own, it's like all of a sudden, you're not supposed to like all these people. It's like, wait a minute, I've been friends with all these people for, you know, 12 years, 15 years. Now all of a sudden, because we're in the same business and we're competitive, we don't like each other anymore. Heck no. We should be going to dinner together. We should be sharing. We should be networking just like all the shop owners and technicians are networking here this weekend. We should be networking as well.
That gave me a thought. You know, Mike, I'm sorry, not even Michael Jordan. Let's just use Magic Johnson and Larry Bird.
They were great friends, but dude, they step on the court, they were competitors. Like, I'm trying to beat you. I want you to be successful, but I just want to be more successful.
And what made them good is they competed at a high level because they challenged each other. You know, this is something that I learned a long, long time ago. I was involved in the Midwestern stock car racing, and we had a guy by the name of Dick Drickle who won like 1,100 features in his career. Okay, but Dick was one of these guys that, as smart as he was and as good as he was, he would help anybody. If anybody went to Dick and said, you know, what shock should I run, or what stager should I run, or what, you know, what gear set do I need at this track, Dick was an open book. And you know what Dick's philosophy was? Because a lot of people looked at that and went, well, he wants to beat these guys. No, he didn't. He wanted to be able to compete with them at a level that everybody was the best they could possibly be. And we should be doing the same thing. We should be making sure that every shop owner is the best they can possibly be.
Right. I'll tell you this. Last week I was coaching one of my service advisor, a young female. She's incredibly talented. She does exactly what I ask her to do. She kills it. And she said, I went to a class last week, and she mentioned the guy's name, and she said, I learned this idea, and I really think that we need to implement it. I said, what was it? She told me. I said, absolutely, 100% great idea. You should do it. And had she not went to a quote-unquote competitor, she wouldn't have learned that one great idea that made her better. Because I didn't have that idea.
But, you know, it's not competition.
No.
You, Barry, you have skills I don't even come close to. Bill, you got skills I don't even come close to. And I know I got a few things that I can do better than
you. Absolutely. I know.
But, you know, collectively together, we're pretty informed.
We're rounded.
By the way, I'm convinced I want to hire all three of you. So I've got to go buy a shop.
You know what I love is you're getting this for free, though. That's what makes you the best.
Darn right, baby, huh? Aren't you jealous?
Yes. And so, we still want to come back.
Do you think selling this podcast deal is going to make enough money to buy a shop?
How about if I said yes? All right.
That's good.
Here's a question. I was setting my question up and wow. So how does a service professional hire a business coach?
Well, you know, in my case, I haven't taken on a client unless they've been through at least one of my management classes. And the reason I do that is because I want you to know the perspective that I'm coming from. And you will determine whether you see a fit or not. Rather than, I'm not trying to sell you on a service. I want you to come to the table and say, yes, we're going to work together, and how do we progress from here? But you don't know where I'm coming from if you haven't been through one of my classes.
So there's a vetting process, and it starts with, you got to listen to Bob Greenwood.
Well, yeah, and take in the message, and then if you're interested, I go through a process. I want your last 2 years' financial statements. I have a questionnaire you fill out, and I'm going to do a complimentary analysis. I want to see where the problems are in your business and see the solution that I'm going to come up with to make sure we can.
Nothing signed at that point.
Nothing is signed.
Okay. I don't necessarily care about the depth of it, but my question is, there's service professionals listening to this. They're getting some buy-in from this. They're enjoying the discussion. And they say, ooh, I'm ready. I got to do this. What do they do next?
Well, they usually reach out in some manner. I mean, they'll either inquire through the website or call us. I mean, you know, we're marketing ourselves like everybody. We're putting our information out there. So we're going to hear from them. But you really go through that same kind of process of what is it that they're really expecting? Because I don't want to start with somebody who has unrealistic expectations of where I can get them or what we're going to be capable of doing. There are no silver bullets.
Exactly. And you know what? The problem is that we've been through that, and maybe you've experienced the same thing. A person comes on board with your service, then they expect you to do it. I said, no, I don't do it. You're doing it.
You're saying yes to that, Barry.
That's one of the things that I fight every day. And I do a lot of selling to shop owners. I don't train shop owners. I'm not adept and patient enough to control shop owners. It's much easier to control service advisors because all I got to do is call the shop owner. And I often tell people this. I could call the shop owner's wife if I had to train the shop owner, maybe, but I don't know if that would work. But here's what I tell people. I'm like, the problem with most shop owners is that they think the problem is the front desk or the back of the house. And so they hire someone like me to fix the service advisor. And then what I do is I start training the service advisor. And I more service advisors like me than shop owners. And let me tell you why. Because I start training the service advisor, and I get them all warm and fuzzy and ready to go and motivated and just rocking and rolling, right? And then they go back to the front counter, and they're like, and the shop owner says, "Oh, that won't work. That won't work." And then the service advisor is like, "Well, the guy you hired said this is the way you do it, and he's pretty black and white." And that's what you need to know about me. I don't live in a lot of gray area. For me, it's either this or it's this. Now, I'll listen to you, and if you can convince me with the empirical data that that's the way to go, man, I'm the first one who will dive all in and do the work. So I'm a listener. But when I'm convinced of something, then, brother, you better – that's how I do the convincing. And then I'm black or I'm white.
Okay, so when it doesn't work, what do?
I call the shop owner and I say, "Listen, you're your worst enemy. He or she's trying to do what I'm training them to do. Let me ask you a question. Are you teachable?" And it goes silent. I'm pretty direct. And because either you want to do it this way and you hired me to do it, or I'm not your trainer. And my kryptonite is apathy. When someone is, and they think somebody else is the problem, that's my kryptonite. That's when I bail out, because at this point, and I don't mean to sound like I'm puffed up or whatever, I have enough customers that I can literally choose who I want to be. And what I loved about you a while ago, Carm, you said you want the top 10% of people in this industry. I want the top 10% of shops and service advisors to work with. There's so much of the downside. And the book that I just finished is called The Power of Who. You already know everyone you need to know to be successful. And if we would get this down in our shoe leather about the power of who, the 100 people that we need to work with, we would stop trying to get more and more and more people. And that's actually a good lesson for the shop owner. You don't need more cars, by the way. You need to take care of the people you do have.
You just had a revelation when Barry was saying people want to fix the front of the back end.
I had a person who went through my class. And after the class, he immediately approached me. He says, "Bob, I really like your perspective of how you see and measure a shop. Do you do personal coaching?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he said to me, he says, "Great." He says, let's talk on Monday." I said, "Sure." So I followed up with him, and I gave him a call on Monday. And he says, "What's your process?" I said, "Well, as I discussed after class, I said, last 2 years financial statements, I'll email you the questionnaire, fill that out as well, get them back to me. I'll do a complimentary analysis. I want to see where the problems are in your business." "Oh, I know where the problems are." I said, "Really?" "Oh, yeah. I mean, financially, we're okay. We're doing well. It's just my darn service advisor needs work." "Do you work on service advisors?" I said, "No, I work on you." "Well, I don't need that kind of help." I said, "Well, then I'm not your man. It's not your service advisor, sir. I'm telling you that right now." "No, we need service advisor training," he says. I said, "Well, I don't know why you're speaking with me."
And he probably had the previous 5 advisors go to service advisor training.
And he never implemented a damn thing.
It's always somebody else's fault. Always.
So here's the thing. I had a guy. I often get people to do either A, I do their interview. I do their second interview. So they'll do the first interview to see if someone fits in their company, and then they'll call me to see if they're going to be able to be a good salesperson. But often I'll get a call from a shop owner, and I got this the other day. "Hey, I need you to interview my guy. I want him to send him to your class, but I want to see if he's the right guy." Well, at a 95% chance, I can tell you, if you're asking me if he's the right guy, he probably isn't. But there is that 5% chance that you made him the wrong person or the wrong gal. So I'm going to go ahead and interview him. So I call this guy up, and I say, "Hey, just wanted to touch base with you. So your shop owner told me to give you a call because he values your opinion, and he thinks that we can work together and even get better. What do you think? That's exactly how I put it. Because, you know, I don't want to get him all off put it, you know. And he says, well, I've been doing this. I'm 61 years old. I've been doing this for 41 years, and I didn't have the heart to tell him I was only 40. So I said, well, I understand that. And he goes on to tell me how much he knows, but I'll do it if he wants me to. I said, but yeah, but do you want to do it? And he kind of pushed that back a few times. And I said, let me ask you, it sounds like that you could probably teach me more than I can teach you. He's like, oh, yeah, I bet I can. I mean, I've been doing this for. So I said, all right, man, I will get back to you. I appreciate it. Have a good day. Click.
Okay.
The wrong guy.
Question. Great stuff. Thank you so much. I am. Oof, this is great stuff. This is just great stuff. Thank you. Phone rings. You pick it up, Bill. And someone says, Bill, I've heard of you. A couple of my friends have recommended you. I need help. Is that a good start?
It's a start. It's all it is. It's a start. There's so much I don't know yet. And there's even more that they don't know.
But is it a good start by me admitting that I need help? Is that a hi, I've heard of you?
I think it's a first step.
You know, it's not being coy. I'm trying to give a lesson to someone who's listening, who's on the edge, who'd love to hire a business coach and reach that 20% netter group that's out there, you know, how they would go about picking up the phone and breaking that ice.
So you make that call, and I'm going to answer that call, and I'm going to start asking what I consider powerful questions, because I need to know what got them to take that first step. Who do they know? Who is it that referred them to me? Who do they know? What circle do they run in?
Right.
Okay, that's important. Okay, what have they done in the past? I mean, has there been any attempt in the past? Is this like, well, I've been with so and so so? Because this is a story that I get a lot. Well, you know, I've already done this. I've already done this with them, and I've already done this with them.
Yeah.
And now I guess I'm.
I have
try
to share with my listener. These three coaches are all doing fist bumps right now.
He says this. Listen. I've worked with Bob. He don't know anything. I've worked with Bill. He doesn't know anything. Barry, they say you know something. I'm like, well, I got to tell you this. If Bob don't know anything and Bill doesn't know anything, I don't know anything either.
You know, so it's asking
it's
those,
all in the approach, isn't it, huh?
Yeah, it's asking those powerful questions. And, you know, this is no different than dealing with somebody that needs their car serviced. You develop a way of knowing if this is a potential client or not, right?
Yes.
There's people that are going to be clients, and there's people that you don't want for clients.
They're customers.
Just don't show up. but this is the same thing. I mean, and so I believe we would all have this same ability to have this sense of going, this sincerely is somebody who's reaching out, or this is somebody who's maybe testing the waters because they've been threatened, or you think they're never threatened? I had a wife call me and tell me. She and her husband, who owned the shop, were in a class that I had done out in North Carolina. And about 11 months after they had been in my class, and you know, they came up to me after the class, introduced themselves, and talked about stuff that we had talked about in class. And so 11 months later, I don't get the shop owner to call me. I get his wife to call me and say, my husband needs you.
Wow. But isn't the wife the most important connection to have?
Well, it's great to have the wife on board. It's absolutely to know that she is supporting him in this activity is critical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But so that was kind of a different scenario. But again, it's just getting to that point of having an understanding of, are we moving forward with this or not? Is this somebody who sincerely needs the help? And are they going to allow me to be in a position to do the things I need to do to really help them?
So, Carm, you know, Bob and Bill's been doing this a little longer than I've been doing it, I'm sure. But a few years ago, I got into the business, and I would spend hours on the phone with the shop owners. And I realized that I was trying to convince them more than they were being convinced. And I was believing that they could change more than they wanted to. So it's almost like I would sit there and coach them like, man, you can do it for 2 hours. And then I would get to the end and they were like, it seemed like a lot of work. So as I'm hearing these two talk, I'm going back in my mind 2 years, 3 years, and I'm thinking, man, how I've changed because I get to the point like they're talking about. I ask these questions, and after about 5 questions, I know who's talking to me, and then I kind of cut it short because I don't have that kind of time.
Well, but when you said the questions, is that like a client assessment?
It is, and I've been in sales for a long time, but when you're young and you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and you want to change the world and you think you can change everybody, because coaching was very new for me. Sales, I knew the sales process, but I would break out of it because I wanted it so bad for them, and I wasn't doing a client's assessment. I wasn't doing a needs assessment. I was going in and just trying to pump them up and get to the end of it, and they were like, that sounds like a lot of work.
You know, when I get that call, Carm, what you have to remember when any of us get that call is now we have to sell ourselves, right? And I have a saying that says every sale starts with a story. You have to hear the story before you're even interested in making the sale.
Right.
You got to hear the story.
And that's always happened to me as well. And
is it your story that you're interested in, or your client?
Their story. Right. I need their story.
You need their story.
I need to know what it is, what the event was that moved them.
So will you be a good inquisitor? Will you keep drilling and drilling and drilling till you get the total feel of this?
If you mean drilling and drilling by being on the phone for
a good half hour to really drill down because things aren't making sense, so you keep asking additional questions.
If the answers to the questions are taking me in the right direction, I'll keep asking questions.
That's a mouthful.
That's what I wanted to know. Right. Good. Okay, great.
And it's amazing how you can get tied up on the phone, but you have to cut it off, and you have to know what questions to ask. And I want to hear that story, too. Why did you call me? Why? Yeah. Tell me. And what's your issue?
Coaching and teaching came easy for me, and I don't know if it was like that for you guys. But as soon as I was like a duck in water, as soon as I started coaching, it became very simple. What didn't come so simple is what you guys were talking about just now, like, why are you talking to me? And getting that story, like, because it's so important. And the best way I can put it and the best way I heard it was they're Rocky Balboa. Well, if you look at Rocky, it tells his story, his backstory first, and then steps in Mickey. We're Mickey. So Mickey pushed him away at first, right? And then he came back, right? And so we have to almost push back first.
Well, Mickey came back because he saw an opportunity.
So do we.
So do we. I mean, here's very the thing. Good. Here's very the thing you have to remember. And I don't want to speak for these guys. This is not about the money. It's not. It's about the reward. And the reward is to know that you've done good things to help good people. And you know what's so interesting to me is this industry has so many good people. We're just out there to help the good people.
And you look, you look at the average fees that an average consultant charges as a coach. He's the cheapest damn employee you have ever hired in your life,
right?
And you say you're still too expensive.
Well, really, if you'll do half of what the coach tells you to do, you won't be paying him anything.
I tell my classes, I say, listen, if this was, and he said it's not about the money. And I also say it this way, it's not about me teaching you sales. If it was about me showing up and teaching tomorrow sales, I wouldn't even show up. I'll tell you what I would do. I'd be with my family spending that time. I would just go sell something. It's not about the training either. It's about the lives that you get to impact and change. And not just the student. The wife at home, the kid at home, their brother, their mother, their family, who they impact every day. Because when people are driven with a passion, things change. That's it.
You know, one of the biggest rewards I've had in my life is when I have taken a shop owner who's made a maximum of $50,000 a year. And through his desire to change and be better, and in 3 years' time, he's now able to take out $150,000 out of his company and still have a solid bottom line. Our fees haven't changed 1 cent. But his life has been totally changed forever.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I'll take that any day. That what keeps me going. When you know that you've been part of somebody else's success. I didn't do it. He did it. But I was privileged to be part of it.
Money doesn't buy happiness, but it does buy all the things that make me happy. My wife's flying over here tomorrow night or tomorrow. That plane ticket costs money. The hotel room costs money. Dinner costs money. Golfing with my son costs money. Taking my daughter out on a date, that costs money. Money is not is not, you know, it's reasonably close to oxygen, as Ziggs.
Right.
And don't forget the date night costs you money too with the wife.
Absolutely. It's That's an booked. Investment, though.
It's, oh, yeah.
Well, this interview has gone places I never expected it to go. Thank you so much for being here, Barry Barrett, Bill Haas, and good old Bob Greenwood. Now, can we do this again?
We can do this again, but I have one suggestion.
Why?
I think Barry, if the three of us were to do this again, I think Barry would need to, you know, apply Bob and I's hairstyle.
I could do it. I was in the Marines, you know.
I
was in the Marines. I've shaved this head. I told Bob why I don't have hair. Because I know that, you know, if you shave it off, like, there's certain things. I don't look good like you.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, you guys have really nice shaped heads. That didn't come out nice, did it? No.
No, that doesn't work.
And I think you can only wear it as tight as you guys wear it. very good, sir. Well, look at maybe.
Yes,
maybe,
we would come back.
Maybe
I'd be happy to
maybe
come.
At Apex, right? Maybe at Apex. Because I'm going to be at Apex with the studio.
We'll be there.
Just
we'll
like
be there.
This.
I'll be there.
Bill,
be there.
I thought you were going to tell me that I need to bring more enthusiasm like you and Tom.
No, because he didn't think he could come up with that.
I couldn't come up to that level. Absolutely.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hey, as promised, such great information and powerful ideas and reasons to make improvements. I really want to thank Bob Greenwood, Bill Haas, and Barry Barrett for their kind and generous time to pay it forward for the industry. See the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E208 for additional bio information on Bob, Bill, and Barry, and links to other episodes that they've been on. Hey, you like this? Well, tell a friend. Don't keep this powerful secret to yourself. The growth and success of you and the aftermarket is all about sharing and bringing new ideas into the fold. Share this episode link, your insider newsletter, or any one of my social posts with an industry friend. And thanks. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.